Hello, my name is Nicole, and thank you so much for stopping by. Today, I would like to share with you information about the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit leads me to deliver this information. Now, those of you who have become saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled, this message would actually be nothing more than a reminder. But for those of you who have recently given your life to Christ, this message will actually help you in terms of drawing near to the Lord and understanding that His Holy Spirit indwells within you. So, let's start off by getting into the Word of the Lord. In King James, Acts chapter 19, verses 2 through 6, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So in that situation, there was an acknowledgement that Jesus was, in fact, who they believed. But then they also needed to receive the Holy Spirit. And at that particular time, Jesus had left, and he said that he was leaving behind the Holy Spirit. And so when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Now, some of you all didn't quite know what happened, but you knew something different took place when you stood before the man or woman of the Lord and they put their hands upon you. This scripture confirms that there was a transferring of spirits, if you will, and that particular spirit was the Holy Ghost. You accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus, many centuries ago, left behind the Holy Spirit, and now you feel this sense of wanting to do right, whereas before, you always wanted to do wrong. Now, for some of you all who question whether or not there was such an exchange that took place, first of all, you will want to understand exactly what the Holy Spirit is. And that happens by, first of all, going into your Bible and looking at the scriptures related to the Holy Spirit. And this is what I'm doing today, is taking you to those scriptures. Now, in another place in the scripture, we find that prior to Jesus' arrival, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. In John chapter 7, verses 38 through 39, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he," that was John, "of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So some people, even in their quest to learn more of the Lord, they haven't accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Therefore, if they haven't accepted Jesus into their lives, the Holy Spirit does not indwell in their lives. So Jesus and the Holy Spirit are like a hand and a glove. They go together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" So when you accepted Jesus, you also accepted the fact that you are not your own anymore, that you do have to hearken unto that voice that speaks to you and tells you that what you're doing is not of the Lord, and that you are going to need to change your ways. Another issue about understanding the Holy Spirit is that some people do not want to submit. They do not want to yield, if you will, their life to the principles of the Lord. They rather go about their own way. Yes, I accept Jesus. Yes, I know that I'll have eternal life, but I'm not willing to do anything to draw nearer to the Lord because I'm not yet ready. But evidently you were ready because you walked down the aisle, you gave your life to Christ, and therefore you accepted him and you accepted the Holy Spirit. So there is no business of not being ready, but what the business should be about is turning over your sin, the challenges that you face over to the Lord. You see, before we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must be honest about every sin that is in our lives. And if we're not going to do that, then there's no sense in accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. There's no sense in being around like-minded people, because eventually what happens is you're going to corrupt them with all of the sins that you're not yet ready to hand over to the Lord. And you don't want to do that. So for those people who say, I'm not ready to go to church, I'm not ready to be around different people, they're actually doing the right thing when they know they have sins that they're not ready to give to the Lord. It is best to stay away from individuals that you might possibly corrupt. Now, when you confess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're also confessing your sins as well to him. You're telling him that you have these issues, that you need to be cleansed of these issues. And so what he'll do is he'll begin to work on your heart, and you'll find that you will no longer have the desire to do the things that you once did. Some of you all think about things like alcohol and drugs and some of the quote unquote big issues that affected other people in your life as sins. But can I tell you that backbiting and being impatient and being unkind and having an uncontrolled temper, those are also sins that we have to turn over to the Lord, as well as pride, jealousy, and bitterness. And then some people, they fail to see the sins in their lives that deal with unclean thoughts, as well as gluttony and laziness. Those are all sins that need to be confessed before the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will guide us as we continue to pray and examine those areas of our lives that were weak. So you have to ask yourself, who exactly is ruling my life? Because if you are still dealing with different issues and you're not ready to let them go, then you're going to have to really look at yourself and say, do I actually want Jesus to reign over my life? So once you have confessed and you have repented, that means that you've turned away from your different sins, then you're going to have to be submissive to the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to turn away from everything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. And what do I mean by grieve? I mean the kind of things that we do that go against the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, he has various characteristics, and he's not an it. He is, in fact, a distinction between the triune God. So he has a character just like Jesus has a character, just like God. So we refer to the Holy Ghost as a he. Or some people, they will refer to the Holy Ghost in the feminine, and I believe that's just to give them comfort. But either way, as long as you acknowledge the Holy Ghost as a real spirit being that actually does things and changes your mindset and so on and so forth, you should be okay. Now, the things that the Holy Spirit is made up of is truth, faith, grace, holiness. Now, if we grieve him, that means we're doing the total opposite of those things. That means we're doing this, like for instance, if we don't accept truth and honesty in all things, not just in the Bible, but also when people are talking to us, when we're watching different shows on television, when we're looking at the news media, when we're looking at our government. We need to be seeking after truth. But if we're spreading lies and we're being deceitful and we're being hypocritical, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also about faith. So if we're doubting and we're distrusting that he is in fact with us and we prefer to go along with the worries of men and women, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're telling people that we just don't believe that God is with us when we do those sorts of things that other people do. And then grace. With the Holy Spirit, we know that if we go against grace and we become hard and bitter and malicious and unforgiving and unloving toward other people, then we are also grieving the Holy Spirit in that way. And then holiness. If we're not living a holy life and if we're living unclean and we're defiling or degrading others or even the word of God or people or being just being disrespectful, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And then what happens over time, and I can tell you from personal experience, what happens over time when you continue to do these things, living in ways that you don't have any business living, saying things you don't have any business saying, then what happens is whatever God called you to do, he suspends that ministry. He suspends your anointing. And there's a lot of people walking around here thinking that they're still under the Spirit of the Lord, and they're really not. That's why you look at their lives and you say there's a lot of conflict going on. There's a lot of things that's not sitting right. There's some issues that they're just not getting over. That's because they continued to grieve the Holy Spirit to the point where the Spirit left them, and they're actually operating in their own flesh. And I'm sure some of you all right now are thinking of some people that all this time you were wondering what was going on with them, that they used to walk with the Lord, that they used to have that light. What's going on? That's because they've grieved the Holy Spirit so much with their lies, with their dishonesty, with going places they didn't have any business going, with being doubtful and worrying and doing all sorts of things. That's why the Lord is no longer with them. So when we do that, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, that's the price we pay. The anointing leaves us, our ministries are suspended, and we just go about our business acting as if the Lord isn't even with us. And I'm telling you, that's a dark place. And I said that in an earlier audio. It is a dark place to be there, and you don't want to be there. Now, after we've submitted to the Holy Spirit, and we know that God is, in fact, moving us to listen to him, to do the things that we need to do to fulfill God's will, we also need to understand that faith is a big part of this whole walk. Not only did you believe that the Lord is in fact reigning over your life, but you also have to believe that the Holy Spirit indwells within you. And there's so many people that will accept Jesus, but they won't accept the Holy Spirit. They'll accept Jesus, but they won't accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They'll experience this interesting feeling on the inside, this urge to want to say something or do something according to the will of the Lord, and then they'll suppress the voice. They won't do it. That's because they don't believe. They don't believe that God is in fact using them. And it's sad because so many people end up suppressing a gift of tongues that they receive, but because somebody told them that that gift has long expired, they won't allow their voice to just go off into this other unknown language while they're praying. They just won't do it. They'll suppress it with their English voice. There are those that know that something's about to happen and they're supposed to warn people, but they won't do it because they're fearful of eyes. They're fearful of what people might say. So once again, they grieve the Holy Spirit. There are people that know and understand dreams and visions and a number of other things, but they won't do anything with those gifts. Some are talented in the sense that they can create beautiful artwork, masterpieces, but they rather stick to what they learned way back in school as opposed to taking their artwork to a whole new other level. Some people rather stick to what they are used to writing as opposed to getting out of a certain genre and writing the way the Lord wants them to write. Others have this gift of music, but they prefer to stay in a certain musical category as opposed to getting out of that box and going into some other areas of music. But the Holy Spirit, they fail to realize that when they accepted Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, they fail to understand that it's the Holy Spirit that's guiding them in these different directions. That whatever you did prior to Jesus coming into your life, a lot of times it no longer is valid when you're walking with the Lord. The Lord ends up taking you into another direction. He ends up using you in a different way. You say, but I've been doing this for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I mean, the Lord wouldn't do that. Right there, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. The minute you say that sort of thing, what God won't do, that's when you've grieved the Holy Spirit. And then what does he do if you keep doing that? He suspends your ministry. He suspends your gift. He no longer deals with you. And now all you are is walking with knowing that you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but you don't accept the Holy Spirit. That's putting limitations on the Lord, and you can never come up higher when you do that. But I'm hearing in the Spirit that there are those of you who are listening and you're getting the message. You're understanding why it is that you're not moving up to that next level. I want you to take this message and I want you to place it upon your heart and your mind and really do something with this Holy Spirit inspired message. Do something with it. Take that paper and that pen and write down all of the things that are going on with you right now, those sins that you haven't turned away from. And some of them you are familiar with because I mentioned them earlier. Let's go over some of those sins again. Pride, jealousy, bitterness, unclean thoughts, backbiting, impatience, unkindness, an uncontrolled temper, gluttony, laziness, a lifestyle that is caught up in the material, in the worldly, that sort of thing. These are those sins that you want to turn away from so that you can allow the Holy Spirit to do some things in your life. And then when you've turned away from those sins and you have acknowledged that you have been wrong for a number of years and it's time to make some changes, then you're going to have to be submissive to what it is that God wants you to do. You're going to have to no longer place yourself in the center of your life. But instead, you want to place God, Christ, Jesus in the center of your life. That's what you want to do. If you don't do that, then you're not going to be able to get to that next place in your spiritual walk. You're going to continue to be like the rest of the world, fighting with these sins from childhood and you know, through college years and on. And you don't need to do that anymore if you truly believe and trust that the Lord is going to work with you. And then some of you are going to have to do a house cleaning. I said this in another video. You're going to have to go through the closets, through the little boxes, the stuff that you got hidden, wrapped up, put away. Get that stuff out and throw it out of your house, because in the subconscious mind, you're thinking about it. And every now and again, you're going to want to go to that old nature and fulfill it with these things that you got hidden all around. And then, of course, faith. Once again, faith. You've got to believe that the Holy Spirit indwells within you. If you can believe that a ghost can fly around a person's house and torture them, if you can believe that a ghost can cause things to come off a wall and cause lights to flicker, if you can believe in the demonic ghosts that are out there, then I'm sure that you can believe in the Holy Ghost, the one that comes directly from our Creator, who was here long before we got here. And that Holy Ghost is a Holy Ghost that is able to help you, to better you, to put you in a place where you need to be with the Lord. And remember, according to Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So even the bad stuff that happened, all of those things work together for your good. That is why you're able to listen to messages like this. That is why you're able to open up your Bible and things of that sort. What the devil meant for evil and destruction and everything that you thought was bad in your life, God turned all of that around and worked it out for your good. So there's no sense in focusing on the devil and what happened back in the day or what you feel like the Lord should have, could have, would have done. Look at what he's doing for you right now. That's what you have to be concerned about. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So this is just reaffirming that the Holy Ghost was given to us by the Lord. And we don't need to be ashamed of this. We need to know that the love of God is with us, that he cares about us so much that he gave us a beautiful gift, a wonderful gift to usher us through this evil world we live in. And then in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." You see that? The Spirit of truth, the world is not going to receive this kind of message. This is one of them weird messages to them. A Holy Ghost doing things in people's lives? Come on now. But it's true, and that's why I'm giving you these scriptures to reaffirm this. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." You see, the world only wants to believe in things that they can see, feel, taste, touch, that type of thing. They don't want to believe in this other stuff, this stuff that, if it doesn't appeal to their five senses in some capacity, oh well, it's null and void. And that's not what the Lord wants you to do. He doesn't want you to take that type of mindset. In John chapter 16, verses 7 and 13, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." That's Jesus talking. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So the Holy Spirit doesn't have his own voice to just tell you whatever, whenever. Okay, when you start hearing things that just sound like you, usually that is you. But when you hear that voice that doesn't sound anything like you, understand that that's the Lord working, when it's, of course, a voice that's about positivity and building you up and not tearing you down. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, trying to keep you out of trouble, trying to get you in the right path. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So back then, we understand that there was definitely a Holy Ghost indwelling that was taking place, and it's still going on to this day. Don't let these people tell you that it's not, because it is. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Uh-oh, some of you all haven't asked for the Holy Spirit. You heard about him, you read about him, but you didn't ask. So go ahead on and use this day to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." Once again, this is going on to this day. Acts chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 8, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is what was taking place back then. And so when John baptized with water, that's what a lot of men, even to this day, are doing. They're baptizing with water. But what a lot of folks that do not study about the Holy Spirit don't realize is that when men baptize with water, God baptized with his Holy Ghost. So there is a transferring going on from the heavens down to that body that's going down in that water. And that's a Holy Ghost spirit. It's not a superhero spirit. It's not the kind that's going to, protect you from every itty bitty little thing that's going on with the devil. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. What the Holy Spirit does is he's like a limo driver, if you will. I'm going to make this really basic, really elementary, even though this is a powerful word. But a limo driver, he drives you around to your different events, and he waits for you. And then you tell him what to do, and then he goes and he drives you elsewhere. Well, in this case, you're not telling the Holy Ghost what to do. The Holy Ghost is just available like a limo driver is, and he's ushering you where you need to be. The only thing that you're doing is asking the Lord to indwell you with the Holy Ghost, for those of you who don't have it. And then from there, your limo driver, also the Holy Spirit, is going to drive you where you need to be. Okay? That's pretty much a very basic analogy of kind of what the Holy Spirit is going to do with some of you all. But no, you can't tell the Holy Spirit, okay, this is where I want to be, and it's not according to the will of the Lord. He won't drive you. He won't drive you because he can't serve two masters. Okay, his master is the Lord, and he's going to give you the information that you need. So if, let's say, somebody sent a limo to you and gave that limo driver specific instructions on where to take you, then you can talk all day long to that limo driver about where you want to go. But that limo driver has been given instructions to take you somewhere, and he's not going to listen to you when he's following his master. Okay, so I hope that helps some of you all kind of understand the direction that the Lord is taking you with this Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some of you all are feeling like you don't have the Holy Spirit because somebody told you you don't speak in tongues. Earlier, I told you in Joel that when the Spirit came upon men, daughters, they saw visions, they had dreams, they prophesied. So it's not just limited to tongues being Holy Spirit filled. Okay, and those that have said that are actually ignorant of the scriptures. They're taking one scripture and they're preaching on it, but they're not looking at all of the other functions of the Holy Spirit. So you can have the Holy Spirit show up and show out in your life in various ways: dreams, visions, prophecies, speaking in tongues, doing what I'm doing, teaching, things of that sort. He's not limited like men. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Does it say any other name? Nope. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for all of your sins that you committed, they're gone. They're gone. Now, are you going to still struggle with sins even though you have accepted Jesus and even though you have received the Holy Ghost? Yes, you are. You are going to, because God didn't take man's will away. All he did was give you guidance. It's up to you to do the right thing. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And some of you all have been to those kind of churches where you felt vibration on the floor from everybody praying, from everybody dancing, from everybody going through the motions in Jesus' name. And then When they came up out of that service, they were walking in the spirit of the Lord. They were speaking boldly to people on the street. They were calling people up and speaking boldly. You were hearing stories. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. And the Lord has not changed. He is still doing it, what he did back when you were growing up as a child, where you were on your knees and you were praying with your mom, and those mothers of the church just kept praying and praying and praying with you. God hasn't changed. There are still churches out there, whether they're home churches or whether they're in a building or in a hotel, they are still out there. You just have to pray and ask the Lord to guide you to those churches where the Holy Spirit's anointing is all over the place. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Some of you all are still turning up bottles. You better stop it, because you're not going to be able to get the Holy Ghost when you're drunk. And you're not going to get the Holy Ghost if you're just tipsy. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, pray for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you heard the scripture earlier. You have to understand that the Holy Ghost existed back then, he exists now, and he's existing in the future. The Holy Ghost is nothing to be played with. When you say things and do things and you know that you're in the wrong, immediately ask the Lord for forgiveness in your mind or go in your closet. But just ask the Lord for forgiveness. You don't want your ministry suspended. You don't want your anointing to leave. You don't want to go to that dark place. I'm telling you, I've been there. It is not a good feeling. One minute I'm able to hear from the Holy Spirit. I'm writing up newsletters. I'm taking them to different places. I'm talking to people. I'm not scared to talk to them. I'm telling them about Jesus and things like that. And then I ended up meeting the wrong people, getting caught up with some foolishness. Next thing you know, God has taken his Holy Spirit. And then I spent years in a drought, not being able to pen too much of anything. It's not a good place, I'm telling you. Keep on talking crazy. Keep on doing silly stuff. Keep on saying, Lord, forgive me. You know, I was just, keep on doing that. And eventually, bye-bye ministry, bye-bye people following you, bye-bye folks who once respected you, bye-bye everything that the Lord gave you. You won't have a recollection. You won't have a heart for it. You won't open up your Bible and read like you're supposed to. All of that because you keep grieving the Holy Spirit, and it's not worth it. Nobody and nothing is worth you losing your anointing. Trust you me. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46a. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Holy Ghost is still falling on people. If you ask as an intercessor for the Holy Ghost to fall upon people and you believe that, God will show up and show out in your next service. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice it was the Gentiles. They received that Holy Ghost. It wasn't just Jews. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Okay? So there's tongue speaking still going on. No sense in rolling eyes and frowning and saying, oh, here we go with that weird language just because you don't have it. Because there's a lot of jealous people out here that they got everything else but tongues. And so then they start criticizing those who have tongues. It's not right. Don't do it. You can grieve the Holy Spirit by talking about the gifts in a negative way. In Acts 19, verses 2 through 6, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, I mentioned this earlier. Some of you all, once again, you have not heard of the Holy Ghost other than what a few people may have told you, little bits and pieces. But you really haven't heard from the Holy Ghost. And the reason why you haven't heard from the Holy Ghost is because you haven't asked. You haven't trusted in the Lord enough. Your faith has gone by the wayside. I'm telling you right now today to say the kind of prayers in Jesus' name to deliver you from your sins. And I talked about those sins earlier. Deliver you from those sins. Start turning away from those sins. Go to your Bible. Do some fasting. If you need to fast from food, fast from television, fast from the internet, do some fasting. Get serious with the Lord. Tell the Lord, I am doing these things right now because I'm just trusting and believing that you're going to just bless me with the Holy Spirit types of gifts. Bless me with the Holy Spirit anointing. I'm standing in the gap for relatives in Jesus' name, for friends, Lord, who don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm asking in Jesus' name right now that they receive the Holy Spirit. Let no weapon formed against them prosper. Humble their hearts so that they'll give their sin over to you in Jesus' name. Let them speak in a different tongue, and let them, Lord Jesus, be moved not to suppress that tongue, but to speak out in Jesus' name. And I'm praying in Jesus' name that they will receive prophecy, that they will receive dreams, and that they will walk in boldness, and that they'll go to the different social networking pages, and they will speak a different type of talk, that they will no longer get on there talking about frivolous things, silly things, but that they'll get on there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we're just asking and trusting and believing right now for your Holy Spirit to fall upon someone right now. Someone who is in a dark place. Someone who was told that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. Someone who was told that the Holy Spirit is no longer using gifts. Lord, we break those lies right now in Jesus' name. And we command truth, Lord Jesus, to come upon this person's heart, mind, and spirit, Lord. Truth, Lord Jesus. Let them walk with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let them walk knowing that you are with them, Lord. We're asking in Jesus' name, Lord, for your divine anointing to come upon every listener, Lord Jesus, that they will just receive right now. Put your hands up and receive the Holy Spirit. Put your hands up right now and receive the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Lord, direct them to a church, Lord, that's Holy Spirit filled, that's Holy Spirit inspired in Jesus' name. Move on those that have not yet been saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled to walk down that aisle before men and women and children and say, I give my heart to you. I give my soul to you. I no longer want to be a glutton. I no longer want to speak evil of other people. I no longer want to harbor dark thoughts, Lord Jesus. I no longer want to lie and compromise. Let them, Lord Jesus, be humbled enough to go to you with their sins and speak them, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every listener. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you for listening.